When you're living with chronic migraine, honestly, it can feel like the most impossible thing in the world, the idea that you're going to be able to exercise regularly. And I have seen it happen, and it's wonderful. It definitely gives me hope that this is possible. It's just finding the right approach for the person. And remembering that it's a marathon, not a sprint, you know, allowing them to take their time.
For many people with migraine, exercise can feel like an impossible choice. It's supposed to help manage the condition, but it can also trigger an attack. Emily Cordes understands this challenge deeply. She lives with migraine and works as an accredited exercise physiologist, specializing in movement for people with chronic conditions. Through her platform, Movement with Migraine, Emily helps people stay active safely, even when movement itself feels off limits. Emily, welcome to the Migraine World Summit.
Hello, thank you for having me. Lovely to be here.
This is a topic that I know so many people are interested in, so we're going to just jump right up. You live with migraine yourself. What has your personal experience taught you about exercise, and how has it shaped your work today?
Yeah, it's taught me a lot. I developed chronic migraine when I had my first child, and I actually was just finishing up my studies to become an accredited exercise physiologist. And suddenly I was plunged into the world of chronic migraine. And I found that for me personally, even a short bout of exercise would trigger an attack. So there I was, exercise physiology student, yoga teacher, I was very into fitness as a younger woman, and I couldn't exercise. I would go out and it would just begin almost immediately as I started. So I think it was an incredibly frustrating process to figure out what I was doing and how I could do it differently and how I could get back to being active. And I just really just came to that point of like, okay, but I'm studying this. This is what I'm going to be helping people do. If I can't figure it out, who can? That was like my sort of motivation to just keep going. It's not easy for a lot of people, especially for those of us who really do find that migraine can be triggered, migraine attacks can be triggered by exercise. But I got there, I'm happy to say, and I've learned a lot along the way about patience,
being a big one,
and experimentation. I exercise today very differently to how I did pre-kids. I don't know, maybe I would have changed anyway, but definitely pre-chronic migraine. And so I'm active today. I think I'm fairly fit. I'm pretty damn strong. And I still live with migraine, obviously.
I love, first of all, that you said it's hard. Yep. That it was hard and that it took a long time, because I think we often have a few attempts, and if it triggers an attack, we just kind of say, okay, this is not for me.
Yeah.
Do you think the fact that you were so into physical activity before you started having chronic migraine is why you pushed through to try to get back to the other side of being active again?
Partly, I think also, you know, doing the degree that I did and learning just how beneficial exercise is for us on both a physical and mental level, I had that real determination of like, I don't want that. I don't want to lose that. I want to be able to have the benefits of being an active person so that I have lower risks of developing other chronic conditions, so that I can sleep better. It helps me mentally so much. I definitely struggled with some anxiety and depression in my 20s, and exercise has always helped me manage that as well. So I think there was a lot. I did love exercise before, and it was part of that, but it was also this determination of like, I want this as part of my life to help keep me healthy. And I made the decision and quite early on that even if it didn't help my migraine burden, even if my exercise regime didn't lower the frequency and intensity of my attacks, which, side note, it did. But even if it didn't, I decided I wanted to try and do it anyway because I knew that I would sleep better, feel better mentally, and be lowering my risk of, you know, cancer and cardiovascular disease as I got older, which sounds really boring and nerdy to be like, I'm planning that far ahead. But I've always sort of had that mindset of like, you know, I'm not training for a marathon. I'm training for my health and my ability to keep moving as an older person.
You mentioned the benefits of exercise and movement, and you briefly went over some of them now. Reduction in anxiety, less depression, better sleep, easier movement.
Yeah.
When you got hit with chronic migraine and you were not able to move as well, did you notice an uptick in these other symptoms?
Absolutely. And I will also say it was a difficult time. I had a 5-month-old when I reached, I won't say breaking point, but I reached the point of like 28 migraine attack days in a month. So for me, it's very hard to know, like, you know, my lack of sleep was definitely due to my daughter, but my increased stress levels was both becoming a new parent and also developing chronic migraine for the first time in my life. So it was a very tricky period for sure.
So exercise is often recommended for migraine management, but we know that it can trigger painful attacks. How do you help people navigate this paradox?
Yeah. So from a research evidence-based sort of perspective, we know that there are definitely people who find that exercise will trigger a migraine attack. We also know that there is some interesting research to suggest that when you control for other factors in the environment, a number of people who think that they are getting attacks triggered by exercise actually aren't. It's overheating, dehydration, your blood sugar dropping when you start working out, perhaps fatigue. And then I would say, like, I definitely want to validate people's experience. Like, this is definitely a problem for people. I would never say that you absolutely can exercise however you want if you live with migraine. That's not always true. And that is really frustrating. And I think it's important to sort of hold space for that frustration. I've definitely met people who have had to give up things that they love because of migraine. People who used to play competitive sports and who just can't seem to get there. And I think, you know, it's not kind to just say, well, you could if we tried harder. And it's not always true, you know. So then from that, I would then move into trying to set expectations. And one of the main things there is to say that exercising with migraine is a marathon, not a sprint. I love that. It's an exercise sort of metaphor too, but it really is, right? Like, it takes patience, it takes experimentation, and it takes building the intensity and the length of time that you're exercising for. It takes a long time.
I love this. I think there's such a misconception around exercise that it has to be, you know, they say no pain, no gain. That if you're not exerting yourself to the point of feeling awful, that it's not exercise or it's not useful.
Yeah.
I personally like to frame it as 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Is that kind of a stepwise approach that people can take?
Yes, 100%. It's something I say all the time. Some is better than none. Every little counts. I think it was 5 minutes a day adds up to like 18 hours a year. So you're like, I might have my maths wrong, but that's what I can remember. And so that's like, that's a decent chunk of time. And if you're just writing it off as, well, 5 minutes doesn't mean anything, there's no point. You got to get rid of that like all or nothing kind of mentality and go with doing what we can for us right then and there. And knowing that this sort of incremental approach really builds.
Along this line of thought, can people train their brains and bodies to tolerate exercise better over time, or will physical activity and movement always be risky for them?
There is no one size fits all. But I would say that it is absolutely possible to, you know, train your brain to be less sensitive and to adapt better to getting out and moving. There's this quote, I wish I could find out and remember who it was, that there's this quote that we are plastic to our last breath. And that's this idea that our brain is constantly changing and creating new correct connections. And so I think if we bear that in mind, there is always hope. There is always a possibility that we can change our brains. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean, you know, it's possible.
You don't have to take it in all at once. You can return to extended interviews at your own pace with the All Access Pass.
What would you say to someone who is interested in exercise but is afraid to start?
I would say start even smaller, even less intense, even a shorter amount of time than you might think. So if you think, oh, well, I used to run for an hour, I'm going to get out and start running again for half an hour, walking and running, intersperse that, and then I'll build up. I would maybe caution you to get out and walk for 20 minutes and don't run, and do that on a very regular basis, and then walk for 30 minutes, and then walk for 30 minutes and maybe run for 2 minutes in the middle and then cool down for the rest. And really step this back, like take your time, and also be aware that you may trigger attacks as you go. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But that doesn't mean you failed. It's data, right?
So if I'm going to start a new exercise plan tomorrow and my goal is to walk for 10 minutes, I've been walking 0 minutes, so I want to go with 10 minutes. What are the things I can do before I start my walk to put my body in the best place possible? So hydration.
Yeah.
What else? And maybe having a snack.
Yeah, I was going to say a snack. Depending how you feel, if it's sunny outside, make sure you've got a hat and your sunglasses. Check the weather. If it's super windy, maybe you want to do a walk around your house instead, you know, or something. There's ways to modify. But yeah, and take a deep breath and remind yourself that, like, just because you're going to exercise doesn't mean an attack is inevitable. Just to give it a go and enjoy it. Try to enjoy it. Find something, even if you don't enjoy the whole thing, try to find something that's pleasant about it. Tends to help if you can.
That to me sounds like a part of this idea of a plastic brain and relearning things. Is there something positive you can maybe say to yourself when you wake up that morning? I'm going to go for a walk. Okay, I'm a little afraid. So instead of thinking I'm afraid to walk, would you think, I'm excited to try something new today, or I'm looking forward to seeing a bird on my walk? Do those kind of messages help calm the nervous system down?
Yeah, I think the way we talk to ourselves kind of internally, if that makes sense, about exercise makes a big difference. There's one that I do recommend when I talk to people who are living with chronic migraine. If they're low-level pain, right, a lot of the time, which for a lot of us is the case, then going out for a gentle walk, one thing I would recommend that they say or to themselves and remind themselves is that they're sore but safe. So there might be pain present, but they're not damaging themselves by getting out for a gentle walk. I wouldn't recommend somebody who's in any pain goes and does high intensity exercise or, you know, a really intense bout of strength training. But it sometimes can be quite nice and soothing to go for a gentle walk, to get that body moving, maybe to do like a very gentle bed yoga, chair yoga, regular yoga, if that's your jam, Tai Chi, something that gets your body moving.
So I love that you mentioned chair yoga. I think when you suffer with migraine, you might also have vertigo. You might feel uneasy. You might have other symptoms that make it hard to stand for a long period of time. And just the fact that people might not even know that you can do entire workouts sitting down.
Yeah.
Are there certain types of exercise that are more likely to trigger attacks than others?
That's a tricky one. I think anecdotally, and what I hear is that it's really anything that gets your heart rate really going. So anything that gets more intense. So people will find that higher intensity exercise and running and sprinting, as well as big bouts of strength training, you know, lifting really heavy things, anything that will raise that blood pressure and raise that heart rate and get the body sort of really going, that tends to be more of a trigger for people. It's tricky.
It makes total sense. It's such a complex condition and everybody is so unique. I'll kind of along these lines, does fitness level play a role? Are sedentary people more susceptible to getting an attack during exercise?
Well, we don't know that, but we do know there is good research that that shows a correlation between, you know, being more sedentary and having a higher migraine burden. So you're more likely to have more frequent attacks and more intense attacks if you're more sedentary, and the fitter you get to a point tends to be linked with having a, you know, fewer attacks and less intense attacks.
How do you determine what pain is safe to move through and when to stop?
So that is a really difficult one to answer because I can't give you a specific. I've learned through my own experience. Clinically, I like to work with the traffic light system, which you may have heard of. For those living with chronic pain, we talk about like green as sort of that baseline pain. And then a red would be a day where you're not going to do anything. Like I would be surprised. I am surprised sometimes people will come into the clinic and they'll say, it's a red day. I really shouldn't be here. Can we just talk, not exercise? And I'm like, we could have canceled, but okay, you're absolutely, well, let's go through some stretching. You know, a red day, respect that, like no movement. But there's that orange in the middle. So then I will talk to people and say, if they start on a green and we shift into the orange for a little bit, that's okay. That's sort of, in a way, helping you see that like a tiny bit of an increase in pain doesn't always escalate. But if we're there in an orange, I will do very gentle sort of exercise. If you're at a higher than baseline already, I don't want to push it into a red. We're working with people to hope that they're leaving on a green again, you know. So not doing anything that's going to definitely, if they're there with a migraine attack, it's always gentle, pretty much.
In terms of recovery, so let's say we're having a day where we were able to move our body in some way.
Mm-hmm.
How should we recover from this movement to help us prevent any future attacks that day?
It depends on the movement that you've done. So if we're doing a strength workout, for example, then I tend to recommend that they make sure they have a meal with a decent amount of protein in it within an hour and a half. If they really have got very, very sweaty and they've lost a lot of bodily fluids through sweat, then definitely an electrolyte drink for some people can be nice. But that's not something I'm going to push. It's just one of those, if that feels right for you. With an aerobic or a strength workout, I would always say a cool down is important. So walking a bit more slowly, if you're finishing up a strength program, you might jump on the treadmill at the gym or walk around the block, a low, gentle level. Let your body and your mind sort of come back down to that baseline. For aerobic, consistency over volume. Which is interesting because the research shows that the benefits tend to kick in for migraine burden reduction with 30 minutes three times a week aerobic exercise. And that is what I try to aim for with clients because we know that we have that evidence there. There's a number of studies now that kind of back this up. But that doesn't mean for me that I wouldn't encourage people to be walking on the days in between as well to keep it going, to do a little bit of something to keep your brain used to that increase in heart rate while you're out and about.
So
I hope that answers that.
No, that I love this answer. And I love that you point out the research showing that aerobic exercise, especially three times a week, 30 minutes each time, reduces the burden and the severity of migraine, what would you consider then aerobic exercise? Is a speed walk aerobic enough? Does it have to be running or spinning?
It doesn't have to be running, no. This is moderate intensity. So you could still maintain a conversation, but you probably couldn't sing. That's the really good test, where you could still talk, keep walking briskly, and you could chat to somebody who is next to you or on a phone, but you couldn't belt out a song because you're breathing a bit fast. I think I just tend to aim for a combined program of a bit of aerobic, some strength as well, some flexibility, and really tailoring it to what the person in front of me wants to do, right? Like, it's all very well for me to say 3 times a week, you got to get out and do aerobic exercise, and twice a week, I want you to do this strength training program in the gym. If they don't generally like exercise, but the idea of starting Pilates and swimming occasionally appeals, then we'll work with that. You know, we'll go with that. It's their life. They've got to enjoy what they're doing.
How do you design an exercise plan for someone whose migraine attacks are triggered by physical activity? So someone who's coming in and they're like, okay, day one, what does day one look like?
Day one probably looks like 5 minutes walking. Finding a baseline, no matter how small that baseline is, finding a baseline that won't trigger an attack. What are they currently doing that doesn't trigger an attack that is exercise? And if nothing, can we find it? Can we find the baseline, even if it's 3 minutes? And then can we work from there to build it very slowly? You know, so again, marathon, not a sprint. If they're going for a walk with their kids, like that, walking their kids to school, can they go for a short walk again later in the day and maybe include 30 seconds of walking really briskly or even a slight jog if they're wanting to start running? And can we build from there? And if they're just doing that, I ask them to experiment with other modes of exercise. So have they tried strength training? If they're focused on aerobic, maybe if we can increase their muscle strength, that might help as well. So there's a few different kind of ways that we can approach it.
So once people start having an exercise routine, should they warm up differently than people without chronic pain or modify their exercise intensity?
Yeah, good question. I think the key here is that warm-up is really important. Just getting that body and brain to slowly adjust to that increase intensity of movement. Even if it's just going from sitting to a gentle walk to then a slightly brisker walk, we want to do that slowly. So that warm-up period is important. I think other than that, I wouldn't say there's anything particularly special.
How has a regular exercise routine helped you personally manage your migraine?
For the weeks that I do work out the way I want to, I sleep better, my mood is better, and I do tend to have, you know, fewer migraine attacks. I will say, just to put it out there, that I'm not perfect. I definitely still will occasionally trigger an attack with exercise because I'll misjudge and I'll be really enjoying it and I'll be at the gym and I'll just think, yeah, I'm going to get on the stair machine and yeah, I'm going to put it up, and then I'm there and I'm sweating and I'm hot and I'm loving it. And then later in the day, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't have recommended anybody I'm working with do that. I enjoyed it at the time, but oh well, here we go. But that's data, right? I'm learning, and I'm having fun with it, basically. Yeah.
We kind of covered this before, but I want to just emphasize it one more time. That mindset is really critical when we're facing something important to us that gives us mixed feelings, like exercise. Is there a mantra or a perspective that you found useful in adopting a helpful mindset?
I find it very interesting that even just learning about the science of chronic pain and how our nervous systems become sensitized, even just learning that can lower people's pain levels because it takes away a little element of the fear. Now, with that in mind, if we know that exercise can be beneficial for us, if we know that exercise doesn't have to trigger an attack, even if it has done before, and if we know that over time exercise can help us in so many ways, including lowering the migraine burden, then maybe we can start to work with that fear and reduce the fear that we have of movement, if that's where we're coming from, you know, if we've got that fear that it's going to trigger an attack. And also just remembering that some is better than none. Every little counts. You know, you are not a failure if you can't get out and do a 30-minute workout. You are just a human trying to do the best that you can while living with migraine. And if you can get out and go for a 5-minute walk and that makes you feel better, then excellent. That's what we're going for. There's no one size fits all. You have to achieve this in order to tick that box, you know, so you work with your body and brain where you're at right now, and start from there.
Have you seen success with your clients on increasing their ability to exercise over time?
100%. Definitely. Both the people I work with and the people I interact with on Instagram, there's a lot of those stories, you know, of people who have been able to return to swimming, return to getting out for social walks with their friends, tennis, Pilates, like, and establishing workout routines that work for them and feel nourishing for them, and support them. And they might never have thought that that was possible. When you're living with chronic migraine, honestly, it can feel like the most impossible thing in the world, the idea that you're going to be able to exercise regularly. And I have seen it happen, and it's wonderful. It definitely gives me hope that this is possible. It's just finding the right approach for the person. And remembering that it's a marathon, not a sprint, you know, allowing them to take their time.
I love that. Where can we learn more about what you're doing or follow your work?
I have a website, which is just my name, emilycordes.com. And also over on Instagram, Movement with Migraine, at Movement with Migraine. I have been a little bit quieter there recently, but I still love to hang out there and share what I can about exercise with migraine.
So to sum up beautifully what we've talked about today, I think the few things I want to walk away with is there's hope. Any movement is better than no movement. Go slowly, be kind to yourself, and find ways to remind your brain that even though you might be afraid of movement, there can be some joy in it. Try to reframe the fear of pain.
Yes. I hope that the standout is have a bit of self-compassion as well, like to be kind to yourself and go slow. And I'd like to leave you with this, that this is hard. You don't deserve this. This isn't something you're doing. It's not your fault. Working out when you live with migraine makes it more complicated. And if you can have a little bit of self-compassion about that and just be kind and gentle to yourself, I think that's a really great base. So then if we can find a way that our body can support us to move and help us feel better, then that can be a really beautiful thing and a really nice way to connect with our body in a different way, in a positive way. So start with self-compassion, go from there, go slowly, experiment, try to have a bit of fun, if possible, stick with it.
Emily Cordes, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.